This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Joining us now to look at how telehealth is helping to change the practice of medicine, our Chief Officer of Innovation and Entrepreneurship at the University of Cincinnati College of Nursing, Dr. Debbie Samsel, Director of Telehealth for UC Health, Pam Kimmel, and Director of Corporate Communications with Maple Knoll Village, Megan Gresham. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Debbie, how much growth that has telemedicine been experiencing in recent years?
It has been expanding quadruple over the years. We've been seeing a great expansion out into healthcare because it's going into not only the acute care environments, but the post-acute care services area.
Do we have any idea how many patients locally and how many patients nationally are using telehealth type services? Anybody?
I think it's expanding quite a bit across the various markets. There are several hospital systems that are developing programs. The VA, of course, was the first to the system because of the government support that they receive.
And from a retirement community standpoint, I know it's something that's up and coming. Maple Knoll Village was very excited to be a part of this, and we've been presenting on this to other communities and groups that we're a part of, and I know this is something that retirement communities and skilled nursing facilities are really looking into. So it's expanded in that aspect as well.
Debbie, describe what telehealth is exactly. What are we talking about here?
We're talking about electronic equipment that transmits medical information from the patient to the health provider. And the health provider can be nurse practitioners, physicians, and other providers.
Now, are we using this mainly for simple cases, or can this be used for more complicated things?
So at UC Health, we're using it across the whole care continuum. We first started in the rural area. Most of the rural hospitals were the first adapters because they didn't have access to the specialist that the metropolitan areas have. So we provide specialists to the rural hospitals. We also use it when we discharge a patient to our rehab center, so we're able to follow the patients at the rehab center and not have to have them come to our physician's office to see the physician. And then we're implementing home monitoring programs as well.
Pam, tell me, give me an example here. Say I have an infection of some kind. Maybe it's a sinus infection. So I decide that rather than going to the doctor for a visit, I'm going to use telehealth. Describe what that visit would be like.
So if you were at home, you would just click onto a link that would be provided by the hospital system that you were going to communicate with, and then you would be able to have that direct face-to-face interaction via your iPad or laptop computer and directly connect to the physician at the UC Health system.
So if there's a camera a web camera on my computer, they might actually examine me. For instance, if I said I have a sore throat, they might ask me, open up your mouth and let's see the inside of your throat, and that might be part of the actual exam?
They can do that.
Wow, that's amazing. So what does this typically cost in comparison to going to a doctor's office? Is it a less expensive visit?
Well, right now, virtual health visits are being looked at UC Health. We're not actually providing the virtual health visit. We are using more of the specialty type consult. So I can't quote any specific prices for that.
Okay. Megan?
And at Maple Knoll, it's used on a couple different levels. So we're actually using telehealth to visit residents in independent living to give them access to students to see how they're handling technology. A physician may log in through the robot to check on them to see how they are on a regular basis, if they're able to stay independent. Then in the skilled nursing setting, we're actually using it where our physicians or our resident fellows are able to log into the robotic services and actually visit patients on the weekends or after hours to keep monitoring their health. So right now, say that one of our nurses would call a physician at home, could be sometime throughout the night, and say, patient X is experiencing these symptoms. Should we send them to the hospital or not? you know, without the physician being there, it's hard to tell what they're going through. So he may say, you know, we have to send them to the hospital. So they'd be looking at, you know, moving them, which is often not well to the older adult. They'd be looking at the cost of an ambulance ride and the cost of a visit to a hospital. So with this kind of service, the physician would actually be able to say, let me log in through the telehealth robot, go in and actually assess the patient. They'd be able to view the patient, hear their heartbeat. You know, the eye on one of our robots is 10 times a human eye. So the physician would actually have a handle on what the patient was, you know, experiencing that time. So they might be able to prevent them from actually going out to the hospital. So the savings could be, you know, endless.
Well, Pete, the producer is telling me that the national average of a telehealth consult is about $45. Plus you have the advantage of there's no travel or being in a waiting room while you're around other sick people. Megan, you're talking about the telehealth robot. Is that Flowbot that you're referring to?
That is Flowbot.
Okay. Yes. Tell me about Flowbot. That's part of the partnership that you have with UC Health, right?
It is, correct.
Okay.
Flowbot is actually on loan to us from the University of Cincinnati's College of Nursing, and they named Flowbot after Florence Nightingale. It was a little test they had over at UC. So Flowbot lives, you could say, on our skilled nursing floor. So as I mentioned, our physicians are able to do rounds with the robot, assist nurses in patient education, patient assessment, and really just provide 24-hour access to a physician or another expert. So the patient really can get 24-hour care without having to be transported off campus. So it's really neat.
That sounds incredible, Debbie.
And one of the beauties of the partnership is that after the physicians get comfortable with using it, then we're going to be also incorporating our nurse practitioner students into the whole care delivery and their experience and readiness for workforce.
What does Flowbot look like exactly? It makes me curious. Is it what you would typically think of as a robot?
Well, what to think about is a 5'4" mechanical body,
okay.
And it has a monitor for a face, and then our face is transmitted into the monitor through a computer control station. So we actually, as nurse practitioners or physicians and other healthcare providers, we become the face of Flowbot. So it's just like we're there in real time. But the way to think about it is we have a mechanical body.
That's amazing. How common are robots like this?
So we have quite a few dispersed across the rural communities where we connect with the rural hospitals and provide our specialists to their emergency room. We also have home health monitoring where we had 20 patients recently in a pilot project that we completed for liver transplants post-surgery.
Okay.
In a retirement community setting, robots are not very common right now. So that's something that we're hoping to have our residents become familiar with the robot, and we're sharing feedback with UC. So that's something that hopefully retirement communities will start adopting this into their everyday practice.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And we'll continue the conversation about telehealth. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.
Cincinnati Edition is sponsored by the Hale and Johnson Foundations, now investing in individuals via People's Liberty. You can learn more about grant and residency opportunities at peoplesliberty.org. Support comes from Artsway, presenting the return of Cincy Sings April 8th at Music Hall with host Drew Lachey. Watch and listen to amazing talent as teams of employee choirs from regional companies face off in this high-energy evening of music and fun. For more information and tickets, you can visit theartswave.org. Proceeds support the Arts Wave Community Campaign.
Support comes from New Edgecliff Theater, presenting Race by David Mamet, April 9th through 25th, Northside's Hoffner Lodge. Two lawyers, one black and one white, find themselves defending a white executive charged with raping a black woman. When a new legal assistant gets involved, opinions that boil beneath explode to the surface. Tickets at cincyticket.com or at 888-428-7311.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon, as we talk about telehealth, are Dr. Debbie Samsel from UC's College of Nursing, Pam Kimmel with UC Health, and Megan Gresham from Maple Knoll Village. Debbie, how else is telehealth being used at Maple Knoll?
Well, we have a couple different other projects that we're doing there. One is we have an Innovation Collaboratory Smart House on the property that's donated to us by Maple Knoll. So we have different telehealth devices there that the students from physical therapy, College of Nursing, College of Medicine, and College of Engineering can partner with us to use. And then we have another little, smaller version of FlowBot that we take over to the independent resident area.
There's another FlowBot.
Yeah. A little smaller, easy to carry, like a set of golf clubs. And we can just carry that over to the independent resident area. And it gives our students an opportunity to learn therapeutic communication through the use of this telehealth device. And it also gives the residents that live there in the independent apartment complex an opportunity to experience the technology, give us feedback, and become more accustomed to what the trend of the future is all about, is having telehealth in the homes.
Wow. We were talking about logging on with your laptop. Pam, is privacy and security a concern when it comes to telemedicine?
It's always a concern, and that's one of the things that we work very closely with our IT department on to ensure that we have encrypted connections and that there is no way that any of the private information is somehow captured by someone that it should not be.
Mm-hmm. Debbie, what are the benefits of telemedicine?
Well, there's several benefits. One is we earlier was talking about the whole cost implication of very frail persons, for example, not having to be transported out through an ambulance or through an ambulette. They can be seen right on the spot where they reside. Another benefit is that you can do regular checkups. They can send information, the patient, the person that's in their home or their apartment or in a rehab facility can transmit information back real time to their nurse practitioner or their physician, and that can be monitored so that you can do early detection of something that's going amiss with their own health, well-being. And that's the nice part, is that early intervention, because as we know, early intervention helps keep people from getting into very complex medical situations.
So this improves access to healthcare is what it's doing. Is that right?
Yes, it improves access, especially for the rural areas and the underserved areas.
And this seems like it's the really logical step in using digital technology in medicine. It seems like it would be faster and cheaper than, say, driving to an urgent care clinic or some kind of a quick kind of clinic.
Exactly.
Okay. 513-419-7100 to join the conversation. And what does telehealth do to the doctor-patient relationship, though? I mean, that's always such a personal thing, your relationship with your doctor. Does this enhance it, Megan?
From our perspective, it really has enhanced it. As Debbie mentioned before, it is your face coming through the screen. So they are aware that it is still your physician. But it just gives them that, you know, extra sense of safety that they have access to that physician 24 hours a day. Whereas before, you know, someone maybe was only able to see them certain hours. So it really just adds that extra level. So from what we've seen, there's been no, you know, opposition to it at all. And a lot of people had wondered, you know, what older adults they're going to be, you know, thinking negatively, we don't want telehealth services, but the responses we've gotten are nothing but positive. We've had people who are in their late 90s say, you know, I was around when telephones were being, you know, started. So it's interesting to see how they say, this is just neat. Now we have robots living with us. It is something out of the Jetsons. So they love it.
Okay. Pam, is that getting good responses to telemedicine?
Yes, absolutely. We have had nothing but great response. We have actually had people approach us after their family member was actually saved from a stroke. They were quickly treated by one of our physicians, and they've approached us and said, thank you. Your technology is what saved the life of my family member. So we have not met anyone that did not embrace the technology.
Do providers in telehealth have to go through special training, or do they have to be accredited to do this kind of work?
Well, all of our providers do go through training to learn how to very efficiently use the telehealth devices. And so do our students. That's mm-hmm. part of their learning sessions.
And the physicians have to be licensed in every state that they will be providing the services to. So if a physician at UC is providing services to a hospital in rural Indiana, then that physician at UC needs to have an Indiana license.
You know, we talk about using this for some simple things like treating infections and basic things. Can it be used for more complicated things? Say that someone's being treated for heart disease in a remote part of the country, but the doctor is many, many miles away. Can it work in that kind of an application?
Sure. So there's lots of areas where they use monitoring in their intensive care units, where they have just the staff in the intensive care that is a nurse level, and then they have the actual physician from some distant site overseeing the patients that are there. So that is fairly common.
Really? How do you address concerns about getting the diagnosis correct and getting the prescription right when you're working remotely? Are there certain safeguards that you have in place for that kind of thing?
So you're actually able to review CAT scans, any type of x-ray, all of the medical records via telehealth that you would ordinarily review if you were seeing the patient in person.
Okay. 513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Kimberly in Dayton. Good afternoon, Kimberly. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Good afternoon. Just wanted to know, will this process be incorporated in other hospitals throughout the region?
Okay. That's a good question. Debbie, do you have an answer for that one?
Yes, telehealth is already being incorporated in our region and other locales, as well as across the state of Ohio and the United States.
You know, when we talk about what's driving the growth of telehealth, what are the factors that are driving this growth?
I think definitely the need to have access to care, because not everyone has this access to care. It's something that's most important, and I know from a legislative standpoint, it's something that our government right now is focusing on, you know, providing telehealth services to people to get, again, then that connection to a physician or a nurse, help them age in place. So this is something that I think they're making a priority, which makes the hospitals, nursing homes around us make it a priority as well.
Has the Affordable Care Act been a factor in the growth of telemedicine?
I believe that it has, in the sense that the Affordable Care Act is looking to reduce readmission rates and curb cost of medical care, and telehealth certainly fits into that platform.
Now, are insurance companies covering telehealth visits, or are they starting to cover it?
So that varies from state to state. Ohio just recently passed legislation that will cover telehealth if you are covered under Ohio Medicaid. Medicare right now is only covering patients that are located in the rural setting, and then some private insurers are currently paying. So you would have to check your own policy to find out whether or not your coverage includes telehealth.
Now, when we talk about what's in the future, what do you see in the future, Pam, for telehealth? Is it like the urgent care practice, something that's become more acceptable over the years?
I think that we are just beginning to see the infancy of telehealth. It is going to expand over the next several years 100-fold.
Debbie, what about you? What do you see in the future for telehealth?
Definitely, as Pam indicated, we see a large expansion on the horizon, and that's one of the reasons that at the College of Nursing, we're making sure that we're incorporating it into different classes and having our students experience telehealth, and we've created a telehealth education center for that exact purpose of getting our workforce ready for tomorrow.
Megan, what about you? I mean, where do you see this? Do you see this as something that grows, particularly in retirement communities like Maple Knoll?
Yes, I think that it's definitely going to be expanding into more of the skilled nursing settings, but also like at Maple Knoll, we're hoping to expand it more into independent living. So it can identify illnesses or check in on people in advance to, again, help them age in place. So they'll be lowering the cost of care. They won't need to keep moving from that continuum of care, independent living to assisted to skilled. We're hoping to keep them safely in independent living as long as it's possible for them.
Is telemedicine something that's being used in the VA system?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
It's the VA system across the whole United States has been one of the top leaders in using it, not only in the acute care environment, but as well in the post-acute care service arena.
Okay, so they've been leading the way and kind of creating models for the rest of us to follow, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, they have some wonderful models.
Now, are there any other assisted living centers in town that have systems like this?
From my understanding, not to the level that we do, and not through the partnership with the University of Cincinnati. Maple Knoll's been very fortunate that we've had, you know, a wonderful team over at the College of Nursing and College of Engineering and College of Medicine who've helped incorporate this new technology to where we're kind of in the initial testing phases of it to see, again, how our residents are responding so they can take it into other facilities.
Okay. Well, Debbie, Pam, and Megan, thank you so much for talking with us today. Chief Officer of Innovation and Entrepreneurship at the University of Cincinnati College of Nursing, Dr. Debbie Samsel, Director of Telehealth for UC Health, Pam Kimmel, and Director of Corporate Communications with Maple Knoll Village, Megan Gresham. Coming up, author Mike Fernandez tells us the stories of two remarkable journeys that he's made during his life. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.